Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Bounty Jagdish and Ryan Hwang. It's time now for The Bigger Picture. Question of the day, is Santa Claus late? Did he arrive late?
Is he ever going to arrive? Should we give up hope?
Well, you'll have to find out at the end of the week, because it seems for now there are some signs he is still sticking around. We've seen record highs yet again on Wall Street, and that is something that could continue, but there is a bit of a wet blanket from China, and this is around the uncertainty coming through from new curbs on offshore IPOs from restricted sectors. Let's get a bigger picture from Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director of Wealth Management for OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you doing today?
Very good morning, Ryan. Belated Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Vasu. How was your festive weekend?
Very good. Very busy with the kids. I've got two very young kids, so, you know, yeah, lots of activities planned for them.
All right, looks like Santa Claus was around for you. Now, let's look at how we are playing out the markets this week. So, you've got a bit of uncertainty playing out in China. That's with the new curbs on offshore IPOs. And this involves how overseas investors are going to be facing more restrictions. So they won't be able to take part in management. Total ownership will be capped at 30%. And single investors will hold no more than 10%. How will this affect Chinese market sentiment?
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to affect Chinese market sentiment in any big way. I don't think so. What the segment of the Chinese market that's going to be badly affected, I think, are the ADRs, the ones that are listed on the U.S. stock market, the Chinese companies listed on the U.S. stock market. And we saw that happening yesterday night. I mean, the S&P 500 was up 1.4%, but the NASDAQ Golden Dragon Index that measures the performance of these companies was down by more than 1%. So you see the divergence over there. And, you know, year to date, the NASDAQ Golden Dragon Index is down 44%, Ryan. So, you know, that is a segment of the market, the ADRs listed in the U.S. stock market, that is going to face further pressure. And it's not just the Chinese that is, you know, imposing greater scrutiny on foreign IPOs. I think it's also the U.S. The Securities Exchange Commission is putting in place a law that requires Chinese companies to open its books and to do it within the next 3 years or get kicked out of the U.S. stock market. So I think the Chinese government is worried that, you know, security data will end up in the hands of the U.S. authorities, sensitive information. So I think it's understandable what the Chinese are doing. But I think as far as the domestic Chinese market is concerned, the H shares, the red chips, you know, the A shares, I don't think those are going to be too badly impacted. It's more the ADRs listed on the U.S. stock market.
Yeah, Vasu, that's a very good point. I'm looking at Alibaba Group Holding, and they are down 1.7%. So lots of jitters playing out. And talking about concerns around the Chinese markets, you've got the property sector still in focus. Yesterday, we had the parent Yango Group becoming the latest victim of China's crackdown on the indebted property sector. They defaulted on a dollar bond after missing an interest payment. And today, Evergrande in focus. You've got two dollar bonds due for payment. How will this play out in 2022?
Well, you know, I think the markets have come to terms with the fact that, you know, the Chinese authorities are not going to step in to bail out such companies. Yango will not be the first one. It will not be the last one either, you know. You've seen this happen before in the Chinese property sector. You've seen defaults taking place, except these are very high-profile names. I think it'll go on. But what Beijing will try to do is manage the situation to make sure it doesn't spiral out of control, right? They may facilitate, coordinate, help these companies, you know, to manage the situation. So in the case of Evergrande, I think they're trying to step up the pace of construction and sales of their properties so they can improve their cash flow to meet their future bond payments. I think this is partly being pushed by the Chinese government. So the Chinese government will try and provide some degree of support, but I don't think they want to provide a complete safety net for these companies, because they've been excesses and they need to instill discipline. And I think this is their way of, you know, making sure these companies practice discipline, because in the longer term, I think it's good for China, good for the property sector in general.
Yeah, talking about support, how much are you expecting from the Chinese government in terms of intervention? Because looking at the industrial profits out yesterday, it came in rather weak at a much slower pace in November. Profits just rose 9% on year in November. That is well off the 24.6% in October. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, I think it's a reflection of what's happening to the Chinese economy. The Chinese economy has slowed down very sharply. The sharpest slowdown this year is taking place in the fourth quarter of this year, and you're seeing that coming through in the industrial profit numbers. That's one factor. The second factor is that if you break down the industrial profit numbers, you see that the segment of the market, the segment of the industrial profits that's being weighed down is really the raw material sector. And so, you know, the Chinese government has been, you know, putting in place curbs to ensure that wholesale inflation is kept in check. They've been curbing commodity prices, and I think that has affected the raw material commodity players, and that has come through in the numbers that you just talked about, Ryan. The profit growth numbers have, you know, been affected by wholesale curbs that, you know, the Chinese government is implementing.
All right, we're chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director of Wealth Management for OCBC Bank. Now, Vasu, we've been hearing record highs yet again for Wall Street. In fact, I think it's number 70 for the S&P 500 this year. But it looks like it's just a small segment of stocks leading the charge. What do you make of the market breadth? Is there enough in terms of market breadth to, you know, take comfort that this is a broad-based gain for the stock market and this will continue and be sustainable for the coming quarters at least?
Well, you know, Ryan, we are modestly optimistic for 2022. We're not negative. We think that the play will start to broaden out. As you say, it's narrowed to a few mega cap stocks. And I think it doesn't reflect the fact that the markets are poised for a sharp correction. It reflects the fact that, you know, investors are very cautious given what's happening right now. Federal Reserve policy being tightened, COVID-19 restrictions, some of it coming into play again. So investors are very nervous. And so what they do is they gravitate towards some of these mega cap stocks because they see them as, you know, safer bets than perhaps, you know, the smaller cap stocks, which are more vulnerable, you know, to COVID restrictions. But I think because of the fact that investors have, you know, kind of like stayed away from the smaller cap stocks, some of the travel-related stocks, for example, in 2022, if COVID starts to ease, vaccination picks up, some of these stocks that have been hammered down, that have not performed, could actually play catch up. So it's not a bad thing. I think that, you know, it is just a reflection of the times. Caution, but it doesn't reflect that 2022 is going to be a bad year.
You know, just five stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Tesla and Alphabet, have accounted for about half of the S&P 500's gains since April. So quite a big chunk from these mega cap stocks. Now, Vasu, let's wrap things up with your take on 2022. Now, some lessons you've learned from last year, this year, and what are some of the key issues you'll be watching out for as we head into 2022?
Okay, one lesson that you learned from 2021 is that, you know, the markets were very volatile. You saw several headwinds. As we talked about the slowdown in China, we had the COVID-19, you know, replay again because of the Delta variant. Then we had central banks tightening monetary policy. So lots of headwinds. Markets saw a great deal of volatility. But the good news is that equity markets still ended the year with double-digit gains, right? Despite the fact that the year before, the MSCI World Index still posted a gain of, you know, 68% from the March bottom. So, you know, I think going forward into 2022, we are modestly optimistic, as I said earlier. We still see gains for equity markets. We think that some of these COVID fears and, you know, Fed fears will start to ease, especially in the second half of the year. And, you know, economies are not going to fall off a cliff and corporate earnings are still decent. Lots of liquidity on the sidelines. We don't think there's enough for the markets to see a sharp pullback. We think that the markets are going to be very volatile in 2022. We're going to see wilder price swings. But by the end of 2022, we think that, you know, prices will be higher than where they ended in 2021.
All right, we'll chat back with you again next year on the markets. Now, Vasu, happy holidays and have a happy new year in advance.
Happy new year to you and all our listeners, including everybody in the studio. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.